So how many in here tonight are complainers? Go ahead, you can sell each other out. Point at them, whatever you want to do. Y'all are complainers? Michael, are you a complainer?
No.
No, I've never heard you complain about one thing. Never in all the years I've known you. So we all know how to complain, right? I like to do it. Sometimes I'm pretty good at it. Ken's really good at it. You ought to hear him in the office. No, I'm just kidding. But we complain, and we complain about stuff that's in our control, out of our control, stuff people don't care about. We complain about stuff that our friends help us with, right? Do y'all have friends that kind of help you complain about stuff? Yeah. Oh, okay, you have me? Thanks, Michael, I appreciate that. Man, I'll tell you, the love. But we do, we have that innate ability to complain about things when we just don't understand. And we're going to look at a man tonight that each one of you know very well. And each one of you can relate to in some way. Now, you may not relate completely to him, and I hope nobody ever has that opportunity to relate to Job in the way that his life turned out. Except for at the end, where God blesses him abundantly and abundantly. All right? But give you a little bit of background on Job. We're going to be in Job chapter 23 tonight, okay? Job chapter 23. Job trusted God, yet it seemed that he had abandoned Job. Would you all agree with that? That God seemed to abandon Job? I mean, if that was my life, that's the way I would have thought. Man, where is God? Job lost just about everything. He lost his sheep, he lost his oxen, he lost his camels, he lost his servants, he lost all of his sons and daughters. The only thing God allowed him to keep was his wife. Men, that should tell you something, okay? Take care of your wives. His wife even told him to curse God and just get it over with. Tanya, word of warning. I'm not going to do that intentionally. All right? But remarkably, Job never lost his faith in God. You ever been there? Everything has gone south in your life, and your faith in God went from here to non-existent. It happens. We're humans. We rely on ourselves a lot. If Job had once denied God, just one time, it would have been over. That's all that he had to do. Because, you see, God in his wisdom said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil goes, "Yeah, let's see how much he can take." And I don't know if you have felt like the devil has said, "Hey, let's see how much Kelly can take." All right? This year, I kind of feel that way. January 1st, Dad dies. 4 months later, put my brother in the hospital. He's still not out yet. All right? I don't know how much more I can take. I told Sonia, I said, if they keep knocking off the roach men, I don't know where that's going to leave her. So, but sometimes that's the way we feel. We feel like God has just escaped our path. And I'm not saying I feel that way, so don't get me wrong. It's just sometimes that's the way we are. All right? In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job says these words. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Man, what kind of testimony is that? To know that our life could be completely wrecked, and we feel like we're so far away from God, or he's so far away from us, however we picture that. But we say, though he takes my life, I will forever trust him. Man, that is great. In Job chapter 22, Job had this friend by the name of Eliphaz. He was a great friend. He's one of the three that's in this book of Job that tried to help Job through this situation. But Eliphaz decided that he was going to ask him these questions. In verse 2 it says, "Can a man be profitable to God?" In verse 3 he asked, "Is it gain to him that you make your ways blameless?" And verse 4, "Is it because of your fear of him that these things have happened to you?" In verse 5, "Is not your wickedness great? your iniquity without end? In verse 6, is not God in the height of heaven? And in verse 15, he looked at Job and he said, will you keep your ways, your old ways of being wicked? Will you keep those? And so he had these questions for Job. And then he had these instructions for him. In verse 21, Eliphaz looked at Job and he said, now acquaint yourself with God. Job. Eliphaz says, acquaint yourself with him. This is in chapter 22. If y'all are looking at chapter 23, we're in chapter 22. Acquaint yourself with God. That was one of the instructions that he gave. In verse 22, it says, receive instruction from him. Not just only acquaint yourself with God, but listen to him. Let him tell you what you've done wrong. In verse 23, he says, if you will return to the Almighty, all this stuff will stop. In verse 25, the Almighty will be your gold and silver. Now you see, Job never left God. Remember what I said back here in chapter 13, verse 15? Even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Job never left God. Job had all of these things crashing down on him. And if it was me, maybe if it was you, what would you have done? Would you have looked at your friend Eliphaz and said, you know, maybe if I got rid of all my wicked ways, all this stuff would just go away. Maybe if I just listen to God every once in a while, all this would just go away. Maybe if I'd follow his instruction, all of this would go away. And can't you see your friends telling you when you're complaining, they're just right there on top of you, keeping it on going. How would your mindset be? How angry would you be? Job knew that God had a purpose to work out. In some way throughout all this, there was going to be a purpose. But he thought God should tell him what he was doing. Wouldn't y'all like God to just say, hey Ken, this is what I'm doing in your life. Whether you like it or not, this is what's going to happen. I would like to know every step that I was supposed to take, right? Patterned after God's instruction are the steps I'm supposed to take. But he doesn't have to tell me why he's doing it, when he's going to do it. I just know that I have to follow him. And that's what Job knew, all right? Job knew that. Now, Job had a huge complaint. Huge complaint. If you want to turn over to Job chapter 7, and we're going to put your finger there in Job chapter 7. But if you'll stand, we'll read Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. In verse 1, it says, then Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he works on the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Brother Michael, would you lead us this prayer?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful example that Job was to us. We pray your richest blessings on the service. God, speak to our hearts. Speak to our ability. Give us some faith in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, in verse 2, he says, even today my complaint is bitter. We go back in chapter 7 where I told you to put your finger in a while ago. In verse 11 it says, therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. When I lie down I will say, when shall I arise and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. Man, his complaint is bitter about all the things that's happening. Do you think he had a right to be bitter in his complaining?
Anybody,
If anybody did, he had the right to be bitter in his complaining. Should we ever be bitter towards God and what he does in our life? That's a tricky situation right there, isn't it? To be bitter towards God. God sends us here, we don't want to go. What happens? What he sent us to do is hindered because our will is not in line with his. Our will has got to be in line with God. But Job was bitter, and he said in verse 2, even today my complaint is bitter. I don't know how much time was from chapter 7 until chapter 23, but even today my complaint is bitter. Some of you may have complaints that are bitter today from 20 years ago. That's a long time to be bitter about something, right? Job said this. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find God. Oh, that I knew where I might find the one who has created me, the one who has given me life, the one who gave me all that I had. Oh, that I knew where he was. Well, he's the same place he's always been. If you know him as your personal Savior, guess where he is? He's with you all the time. He didn't leave. And Job, even through his complaining, even through his friends telling him to do certain things so he could get out of the situation, he missed that point. Oh, that I knew where God was. In his complaining, that I might come to his seat. Now, how easy is it to go before God? It depends on what you did, right? If you've sinned and you're so ashamed of yourself, is it easy to go before God? Yes, it is, because he's made it that way. As my Heavenly Father, guess what I have the opportunity to do? Go to Dad and talk to him whenever I want to. Job didn't need to look very far. Job just needed to speak and say, Father, what have I done? Please let me know. Please guide my steps. Job felt separated. During this catastrophe, he felt that he couldn't find God. And you've probably been there. Sometimes in my life, I felt, man, where is God in all of this? Well, I look back and sometimes I put myself in a situation God didn't want me in. And he wanted me out. That's why I didn't feel him there. He wanted me over here. But he was looking. Job's sense of loss was great. I don't know how great of a loss you've ever felt in your life. But Job's sense of loss was great. Job's sense of wanting God back in his presence was even greater than the loss that he felt. That's where we need to be. Amen. Knowing that we have lost something, or that we are in a situation that is unpleasant to God, we want God back in our life more than that situation hinders us. Oh, that I might find him. If I could find him, I would present my case before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. Well, how's that going to work out for you? You're going to argue against God. Anybody ever won that argument? No. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there are going to be a lot of arguments with God. When the rapture happens and the judgment seat comes, there are going to be a lot of arguments with God. God, I've done this all throughout my life. I have lived a great life. I was kind and gentle to everybody. He's going to look at them and go, but you never accepted me. But God, you know all of this that I've done. Yes, sir, I do. But I know what you didn't do was accept me as personal Savior. You can't win an argument with God, because he is the answer. Amen. The 100% complete answer to every question, every problem, to every sin in our life. He is the answer. And Job felt that separation. But we look here and we go down a little bit farther. And he says this in verse 8. Look, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, and I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns his right hand, I cannot see him. And when, but he knows the way that I take. He has tested me, and I shall come forth as gold. Wow. That is great. I want you to look at this. God still observed Job carefully. He was still there with him. And guess what he didn't do? He didn't forget his servant Job. Not ever at one time did he forget. Even though he allowed the devil to test him, he never forgot Job. You are his child. If you have accepted him as your personal Savior, guess what he will never forget? You. Amen. Never will he forget his child. God had a purpose in this crisis. And a purpose was not to punish Job. The purpose was to teach him to live more on faith in God than anything else. When he tested him, how many of y'all would like to be tested by God today? Raise your hand. Anybody? Why not? I don't want to be tested by God either, because I would fail the test. But Job, he didn't ask to be tested. But God knew his heart. Amen. And he knew that his strength was in God and not in everything that he had. God would one day bring the trial to the end, Job said, when I shall come forth from this. Job knew that one day the trial was going to end. This opportunity of despair was going to come to a pass. Just like this opportunity that we have living in this world will come to a pass. Job didn't know if it was going to end in his lifetime or it was going to end with him being in heaven. But he knew it was going to come to an end. God would bring something good out of all of it. That's what he said. He said, I shall come forth as gold. As gold. You see, when gold is tested, what gets hurt? The dross, not the gold. Not the precious metal. The gold is purified. And Job knew throughout all this heat and intensity and everything that was going on in his life that it was going to turn out to be gold. Gold is never injured in the fire. You know, Eliphaz instructed him in verse 25. He said, the Almighty will be your gold and silver. When we look at God as the most precious thing that there is, guys, He is. He is the most precious thing that there is. Eliphaz said, Job, God is your silver and gold. And Job knew that he was going to come out as gold. He knew that the things that happened to him, even in the wisdom of Job's friends, Job never left God. Not one time. If y'all go over into verse 11 and look at that, it says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from him, from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique. And who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. God's unchanging. He's unique. And what he desires is what he's going to put us through. Are you ready for that tonight? Are you ready for what God desires for your life? Are you ready to go through it? If we think about Brother Ben Hightower in Columbia, Missouri, what do you think he's gone through in the past 5 years? A lot. If you've never been up there, go up there. Think about our missionaries across this world. What do you think they go through? They go through a lot. Think about our pastor. What do you think he goes through? Well, just think of all the things that you have told him. All the things that you have done, that you've come to counsel with him about. I know what I put him through, and I see him just about every day. Guys, we've got to be willing for this. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Whatever he wants us to do, whatever he decides, whatever his will is, be ready for that. I don't know that Job was ready for his entire family to disappear, except for his wife. I wouldn't be ready for that. But I do know this. I don't want to lose my family. The things I have are not relevant to me. But my family is I cherish them. But if God was to take them from me, would it hurt? Oh, most definitely. But here's the thing. I know in the end, He has a purpose for everything that He does in my life, whether I understand it or not. And I know at the end of it all that I don't care if I turn out as gold, but I know that God will be my gold and silver. He will be my treasure, just like He is now. And I hope that you can stand to say the same thing. That no matter what happens in your life, as Brother Dale comes and we have a hymn of invitation, no matter what happens in your life, think about Job. Think about all the trials and the fire he went through. Did he respect God? Most definitely. Because he said, even though I die, I will always trust Him. So tonight, if you can't say that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, this would be a great night for you to do that. This would be a great night for you to stand and say, I am a sinner, I am lost, and I am going to hell. And I don't want that anymore. Father, thank you for what you've done for me. I accept you as my Savior and ask you to forgive me of my sins and to come and live in my life forever. Or if you're here tonight and you're going through a trial and you just don't see what the fire is doing to you except for burning you up, talk to God. You don't have to go. Man, if I could just find Him, I'd have a few words with Him. Guys, you can do that right now and talk to God because He's here. This is His house. And if you know Him as your personal Savior, this is His temple. He's with you at all times. As we stand, Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come to you, and Father, just for being the God that you are. Father, we may not understand all the things that you have laid out before us in our life, but Father, we place our trust in you. Father, I trust you in your will, that whatever it is to come, that I know that it is best. Father, I just thank you for all that you've given me. In your name I pray. Amen.